is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 213 of
How Married Are You?
Okay, my name Belief. This is Yvette. We married 13 years. Live in California. We got four kids. Relationship scary. It's very necessary. We share our love but struggles. We ask
how married are you?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in a wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions. We got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
One, two, three, and... Man, Uzi got upset with me last night because I told him that he must go to sleep. And the reason why he was so upset about it is because his brothers got to stay up. They were watching the basketball game. The Lakers and the Warriors were playing and went into double overtime. And they were like so into the game. And for me, I really love seeing my sons in the watching sports. I don't know why.
It makes for a much louder Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you didn't have no problems.
I didn't. Because I was so unbothered.
Because all them kids, Anaya was snuggled up against me. She was like, I want to watch if I can have love.
Except you guys ignored Uzi. He was trying to make a fort right in front of y'all, and you didn't help him. So then he came upstairs crying, and I had to come help him. Yes, that's why I came downstairs.
Oh, he started crying because no one was going to help him?
Yes. I was like,
he didn't ask for help.
I was like, what's wrong, buddy? He's like, my fort keeps falling.
Oh, I didn't know.
I was like, okay, I'll help you.
I didn't know
that. I was like, how do you ask for help? And he said, can you help me, please?
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was upset.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Oh, well. Well, that's a double chocolate baby story time.
There's my chocolate baby story time.
Yeah, I love seeing the kids into sports. We've been watching, we watched the playoff game, we watched the games, it was a sad day. But anyway, yeah, we can move on.
Okay.
All right, cool. Man, go ahead. What you gotta say?
I was just gonna go on with the whole spiel. What were you about to say?
I'm about to say y'all need to get y'all tickets for this Unplug retreat.
Oh.
You need to get your mama, get your mom friends, bless your mom, bless your wife, send her away for Mother's Day, okay? Mm. They need a break. All throughout the year, we rely on our mothers. We rely on the women in our lives to be so much for us. And when do they really get time to rest? I remember the time you left in a couple years ago, it was really difficult for me. But if you had been taking those rests, you wouldn't have needed that big old break, right? And I'm always pro you getting out of here whenever you say you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of y'all don't understand what your wives go through, especially if they're stay-at-home moms, because mm-hmm. you sit from the position of being like, okay, well, you know, she don't really have nothing to do, mm-hmm. you know, but she's actually doing a lot. And because I was a stay-at-home father, I get to see from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important that you understand your wife's shoes, or try to at least.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had someone let me or share with me that.
Sorry.
I've actually had a few people being like, it's Mother's Day, I don't want to leave my kids. And I was like,
duh.
I was like, I understand that Mother's Day is usually like a special day where the family does something to celebrate you and all the things. But you can pretend Mother's Day is the following weekend or the weekend before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a day. It's a man-made holiday. You can celebrate Mother's Day with your family before you leave or the following weekend. So mm-hmm. don't let that be the reason you're not coming. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel any shame. If you need rest, you need rest. You deserve rest. Mm-hmm. So book your tickets now. You get all the things. You get spa services. You get food vouchers. You get a welcome dinner with me and praise and worship and Bible study and anytime you want. You can literally spend the time how you want. You could come and decide, I don't want to do none of that. I'm just going to stay in my room and hang out. Or you can decide, pick and choose what you want to be a part of. It's not going to be something where every minute of your day is scheduled. It's something that you can, at your own leisure, plan how you want to rest, because you deserve rest how you need it. And so I'm just creating space for you, and I hope that you would join me and others as we connect with ourselves, as we connect with God, and as we connect with each other.
Amen. Yeah. And make sure you like this video right now if you're watching on YouTube. If you're watching On any other platform, make sure you give us a 5-star review. Make sure you share this with someone after you listen to it. Now, we had some pretty awesome episodes come out recently, but I think that, you know, we're actually ahead of schedule. So, like, we're recording this way before you're hearing it. So I'm pretty pumped on that. So big shout out to the team for making a better workflow. getting stuff situated. And sometimes we go live, so make sure you follow us on Instagram. Let's go ahead and get into this situation here. What we got? We got an email. All right.
The email is titled, "He Proposed Marriage, I Declined."
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That, look at Joyce. That's a tough one.
This one I'm very interested to learn about. So I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of months now, and I wanted to ask for some advice on my relationship. Mm-hmm. I am 26 years old and my boyfriend is 28. Before we started dating, we were friends for about 5 to 6 years. We share the same friend group. We have all decided to form our own little village. It's great. Mm. We've been dating for about 5 years. We share a child.
What?
A little girl.
Okay.
We'll be 2 very soon.
Green flag.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, our families love each other and they talk regularly. We live together. Yes, we're shagging up, LOL. The first 2 years of our relationship was great. We were very happy and spent lots of time with each other. The last 2 years have been rough. Mm. I started nursing school when I was pregnant, and I am currently in my last semester. Before I started, I clearly communicated that this was a goal that I would spend a lot of time on and that it would get tough for the relationship as it requires late nights, early mornings, and just overall a lot of time. Mm. If anyone knows anything about nursing school, I do.
What do you know about nursing school?
I went to Point Loma Nazarene University, and those nursing majors, they did not have a life. They were always in the library. They were always studying. They were together all the time. I had one friend in particular.
Is that why they, like, oh, no, that's doctors.
What do they do?
Did they be shacking up and having sex all over the hospital?
Oh, my gosh.
That's on Grey's Anatomy. I seen it.
Gosh. Anyways, you know that it has a reputation for how difficult it is, and trust me. And you know what? We want nursing school to be hard.
We depend on y'all for everything.
We want you guys to be working hard. We want it to be difficult. We want y'all to know what you're talking about when you're talking about it.
Absolutely.
It holds true. He said that he understood and would do anything to help me achieve this goal, as it means a lot to me. Fast forward to the second semester of my program, I was diagnosed with lupus.
Oh.
Between the baby, school, my diagnosis and symptoms, I had seeped into a depression. Mm. I slipped on the household chores, and he did not pick up where I lacked. It got bad. With a toddler running around, me back and forth to school, and a man who spent most of his days between video games and his job, I felt like I was drowning. When I communicated to him that I was in a very depressed state and I needed some help around the house, he'd say, okay, brush me off and ask for sex. That seemed to be all he ever wanted. When I declined, he'd get upset and huff and puff around the house. He became very frustrated with me, and the smallest things would seem to make him angry. Something was off, as this wasn't his usual demeanor. I looked through his phone one night before he went to work. I should have minded my business, but the phone seemed to be calling me. I found out he was cheating on me with a girl from his job. I could feel my soul just break. It was also the night before my second Mother's Day. Being that I was raised by a single mom and my aunties, who were also single moms, Mother's Day is my favorite holiday. This all around sucked. When I confronted him, he said it was a mistake. It only happened once, which I don't believe, and that he'd never do it again. This is not the reason I stayed. I stayed because I had so much going on at that time, that I would rather stay and try my hand at working it out than to deal with the repercussions of a breakup. Okay. It's an interesting statement.
Do you want to pause here? Or you want to keep...
I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like sometimes that just be how it is. Like,
what?
I would rather stay and try my hand at making it work than to deal with the repercussions of a breakup. How many things do we avoid speaking out about? Not, and this is like a different, I don't know. That just resonated with me. My Lord, it resonated. Anyways, I got you, girl. I'd have to move out. We'd have to figure out child arrangements, deal with the inputs of both our families and our very tight-knit friend group. Again, nursing school, lupus, and a child. I couldn't risk all this stress and possibly fail a semester or risk a lupus flare that would possibly land me in the hospital. I stayed, which disappointed the strong Black woman ideal that I was raised by. This girl is very well written. He apologized, and we agreed that he would cut ties with the young lady and find a new job, which he did. But then he kept apologizing. He'd bring it up, and he would break down and cry and say that he was trying to put it behind him, but he felt like he failed me and our daughter. I am not one to drag a situation. You did it. We discussed it. Okay, let's move on.
Dang, that's
she's like, I have things to do.
That is a crazy amount of grace.
But I don't even know if it's grace.
It could never be me.
But look at this. She goes, I'm going to read that sentence again. She goes, I am not one to drag a situation. You did it. We discussed it. Okay, let's move on. I have things to do. What about I felt the pain that came with that. We discussed it is different than we worked through it. You know what I mean? Like, it's different than we sought counsel to really seek true forgiveness, him forgiving himself, her forgiving him. You know, there's so much layers to that. But discussing something is not the same as working through it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to, I'm just going to keep.
Let's hope that they did work through it.
I'm going to keep reading.
He obviously didn't get over it.
Yeah, because he kept bringing it up and apologizing.
Sorry, guys. Lily's here.
He wanted me to display more emotion. I couldn't because if I did, I was scared I would break emotionally and I wouldn't be able to pick back up. Eventually, we argued about it. We discussed some new goals and boundaries for our relationship moving forward. We were going to do the work not only for us, but for our child. And we did. Okay. See, I should have just kept reading. The household chores are now a two-man job. Beautiful. We try our best to communicate our feelings to each other. Okay. And maintain a date night. Our relationship felt better. Not the best it's been, but better. Fast forward, it's my last semester, and I'm more focused on graduating than I ever have been. I eat, sleep, and breathe nursing school. Now, he complains that he's tired of me studying. I'm not spending enough time with him. And that he's depressed because of what he did in the past. He feels that I am neglecting him because of it. This annoys me. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to better myself so that our daughter can have more options and financial freedom than the both of us had growing up. I've communicated this to him, but it doesn't feel like he understands. Just before Christmas, he proposed the idea of buying an engagement ring. I politely told him that I felt like he proposed the idea of buying. Okay. Just before Christmas, he proposed the idea of buying an engagement ring. I politely told him that I felt like that was not the thing to do right now. I just don't feel like we're ready. It feels like he wants to marry me because he feels like it's what he's supposed to do or that he's trying to make up for what he did. It just didn't feel pure. I listened to Tico's episode and she made the statements, will you marry me to do what? To be what? To have what? It stuck with me. Am I wrong for not wanting a sympathy ring? I know we need therapy, and I like to think we will when the time permits. But if you have any advice, I will gladly take it. Thank you.
I'm so proud of her.
Me too. I just want to hug her.
Yeah. Group hug.
Group hug. Let's hug together.
Just hug each other. And just, you were part of this.
You're part of this. Oops.
What?
Brennan, you got to cut that out. I just said her name. I just said her name at the 14-minute mark.
Here, I'm a clap. So you find it. Okay. So, yikes. We are proud of you, and we are sorry. I'm sorry on behalf of men. Because I feel like he did something and tried to rush her to get over it. Which I feel like is very manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best thing I did that helped me understand just that I don't understand anything, that I don't know anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
is be a stay-at-home dad.
Mm.
Because I was like, oh, if I was this, because I was like, this is going to be boring. These children are going to be so easy to take care of. And I'm about to win. I'm about to be restful. I'm about to, and like, I thought everything was going to be
easy. I did not know you were thinking
like that. Oh my gosh. I was like, this is about to be so boring, you know, hanging out with these kids all day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, if I am this off about something that I, like, I had access to, how much off am I about everything? Mm. So everything to me is kind of like, I don't know. I don't know nothing.
For real.
You know? And so when it comes to, you know, this situation and her really, her going to nursing school, like, you have no idea what she's trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're oblivious to her growth. Like you don't even know what she's doing. And she has to do something reliable because you have been unreliable, unfaithful. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused on what is her plan, though.
What do you mean by that?
Because it's like, all right, so you aren't together. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are together with the guy. They're still together, right?
Yeah, they're still together.
They're living together. They have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
What is she waiting for in him to get married, I guess? Like, what is she looking for? Like, where does the relationship stand, I guess?
I feel like she probably would have received the proposal had it been before he cheated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like if you remove that mistake out of their relationship, she might be more inclined to say yes. But it feels, she said it, she's like, his proposal feels like a sympathy thing, like something he's trying to do to make up for what he did.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something that he genuinely made a decision about. It's a decision that she feels is made out of guilt.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she just wants his motives to be pure in order to receive that proposal.
Is there a way to walk back from that, though? Like, I guess, because, like, man, if we weren't even married and you cheated on me, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Is it a way to, I don't know if that's possible. Like, healing from that is so difficult. Because I feel like now, and this may not be true, but she's so focused on her job. She's like, yeah, I'm not worried about you. Like, it's almost like, is there real forgiveness here? Or is she just kind of like, because let's be honest, from our situation, sometimes you're like, I don't know if I can rely on, I don't want to just rely on Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I'm set on my own just in case Glenn loses his mind. And I have done nothing to prove that I'm going to leave her or anything like that. But imagine if I did, how much more you would be like, yeah, not so much, buddy.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, okay, so she did give him a heads up. She's like, hey, I'm about to start nursing school. This is going to be a lot, okay? It's going to require a lot of my time and attention. And I honestly think she's grateful in this moment for nursing school. Because it gives her an opportunity to not have to deal with or face those emotions of, I'm hurt.
Yeah.
Like, this guy just did this to me. So now she can avoid processing those feelings while she focuses her attention on school. And I don't know if that helps the relationship at all either. Even though, let me read again what she said they're doing. Because she did say, she said, eventually we argued about it. We discussed some new goals and boundaries for our relationship moving forward. We were going to do the work, not only for us, but for our child. And we did and are going to do the work, not only for us, but for our child. So they're considering themselves and their child. The household chores are now a two-man job. We try our best to communicate our feelings to each other. We try our best to communicate our feelings to each other and maintain date night. Our relationship felt better, but it's not the best it's been, but better.
You know, I feel like this is so often. I wonder how come we don't get any stories about women cheating?
Because men probably don't want to talk about it. They probably leave them. I think men
Well, leave. I know it happens.
I know it happens too, but I think the men leave. They don't even care to consider. Don't you think? Don't you think men would are more likely to leave? In the comment section below.
What you mean, like leave a cheating woman?
Yeah. Because I feel like a woman,
if a man
especially if they have children, are more likely to be like, okay, let's try to work this out. Da, 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 da. But I feel like if a man gets cheated on, and this is just me talking, y'all. I have no statistics to back this up. But I do believe that a man's ego could not take it.
I don't think men are considered when they're cheated on. Like, it's victim blaming. It's like, well, what did you do to, what made her, why did she feel like she had to go? Dang, Lily, go sit down somewhere.
And her hair keeps getting on my cup.
Can you sit? Did she eat this morning?
Oh my gosh, her food's in the car.
Dang it.
You what should I do? The key. Should I go get it?
No, Brandon can go get it.
The key's in the office.
It's a van key, bro. Thanks, bro.
It might be in my purse, but leave all this in the podcast. I don't care if you
leave all this in the podcast.
I don't care if you go in my purse.
Don't cut this out. They ain't paying for this.
What?
I smell cookies.
It's them across the street. They bake.
It smells good. Do you smell cookies?
They have a big old oven over there, and they be baking cookies.
All right.
Okay, what were we just saying?
Men don't there's no sympathy for men.
It's your fault. You should have given me all the things that I needed.
You weren't paying me enough attention.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, and did we tell Brandon I parked in the back?
Can you let him know she parked on this side? You might want to go do it for him because you know the car.
It's behind the driver's seat.
You've driven it before. Sorry, guys.
Lily, come.
Yeah, I think men have a harder time with that. They don't have a lot of they don't get a lot of sympathy, and even when, like I know men who have been cheated on, and the world thinks they cheated, and they've been like, well, I don't want to say anything because eventually my kid is gonna see this. And so I don't want her to sit. I don't want her to, like, I don't want our kids to think bad of her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I know women do that, too. I'm not saying that men only do that, but I know guys.
Oh, all right. Let me go help them. It's in my other purse.
No, babe, we need to finish this.
No, I don't mind. There's nothing in there to hide. I promise. It's nothing that's going to, yeah. The one that's hanging on the coat hanger.
So anyway, like even me talking about this, some men are like, yeah, yeah, but then we keep getting interrupted. But yeah, like there is I do believe men have a hard time talking about it because dudes don't be caring. Like it's hard to confide in other men about this because it's kind of like, man, that sucks. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to help another man, like, grieve this process? It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I've known guys who have been cheated on, and their homies will be like, yeah, man, I guess he wasn't pleasing her. You know what I'm saying? The homie will say that about the homie. So I'm not sure that this crosses over as much, but we don't get a lot of stories about men cheating. I would love to hear more men write in, because I want to hear more stories from a man's perspective, because what we are getting a lot of is a lot of dudes who like to play video games. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with video games. I play the Oculus. Or what is it called now? Meta Quest.
Mm-hmm.
It is super fun, and I love it. But I'm on there for a workout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on there, whatever. And sometimes we play as a family. But even if we did, like, that's fine. But as long as stuff is, like, you know, I don't know. Like, you're working alone. You know what I'm saying?
Working alone?
Like you're like you don't have any help anybody to help you do anything and everyone's just playing on the video games.
Oh.
She'd actually prefer us to play on a video game so she can work on her work.
Contain by y'all in one room and play video games while I do the rest of the house. Leave me alone.
So she can clean to her standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that she brings up, because I think that's a really good thing to bring up from a previous episode. Because, like, I often think about people who are already living together. You already have children. You're already having sex. Like, what is the point of getting married? Mm-hmm. To me, kind of, anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, definitely it's not how God intended marriage to happen. It's not the order or whatever. However, it's kind of like, what's the difference? Like, I can imagine asking that question. But if they did desire marriage, and now she's like, okay, she's heard that question that Tico asks, will you marry me to do what? Like, if he doesn't have any, I don't even know if the right word is ambitions. I don't really like that word anymore. If he doesn't have any real, like, motivations or drive or something that he's working toward or a common goal that they both are working toward, it's like, mm-hmm. will you marry me to do what? What are we going to do? We're going to play video games? I'm going to be nursing? Like, what's happening? And then it goes, to be what? Who are we going to become? Mm-hmm. Who are we working to become?
How do you think we would have answered that question?
Will you marry me to do what? I think we've always had a heart for ministry, mm-hmm. the both of us.
Yeah.
I don't know if we knew how it would manifest itself or what it would look like when we got to X age, but I do believe that we've always had a heart for ministry and being there for people.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that could have been, like, basically to further the Lord's kingdom, mm-hmm. I guess, is mm-hmm. what I would say, to do what, to be what. I don't know how I would answer that question. How would you answer that question back then?
I think back then I had a terrible view, but I think I just really wanted to be inside of God's will. And I didn't want to be outside of that. So it didn't really matter what we were going to be. I knew I had permission to be whatever, but I wanted to raise, like, really good children. Like, I wanted to raise children that, like, carried themselves well. And I do believe we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now, like, I feel like, you know, we are married to be proof, essentially.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
For other people.
I align with that.
So even in this situation, I guess I want to just remind this person that, you know, you're not off or crazy for mm-mm. feeling how you're feeling.
Not at all.
We've never been in your situation, but mm-hmm. we can say that you're extremely gracious.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're ever going to be able to know if his motives are clear.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's a trusting in him that we don't have access to. So we couldn't tell you whether or not, like, hey, marrying someone is, you know, a good idea or not. But the fact that you declined his offer and he's still around, that says a lot about your standards. Yeah. And that's, like, really respectful. You know what I'm saying? I respect that a lot, I think.
Yeah, and I think it, I mean, because you asked the question, am I wrong for not wanting a sympathy ring? And Glenn already said, no, you're not wrong for that.
Right.
And I think that if Tico's words or her statement or her questions really stood out to you, then that is something that you and he can start working together and answering. Like, okay, let's get married. Like, what are we getting married to do? You know, what are we getting? Who are we trying to become? And what are we trying to have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so ask those questions, answer those questions together in order to move toward the direction of marriage. And I will say it again, I've said it before, I probably said it every episode. But I think seeking out wise counsel and even possibly a mentor couple, it sounds like you guys have a pretty solid village. I don't know who's in that village or who makes that village up, But I think it's time to start inviting people with discernment and wisdom into your business.
Yeah.
Like, who are the people that are going to be holding you accountable? Who can you open up to?
They said they have a village.
They did. That's what I'm saying. So tap into that village. And then it's, you said, I know we need therapy, and I like to think we will when time permits. But if you have, okay, so you acknowledge that you need therapy. I don't know if therapy is something that you can't necessarily afford right now. If it is something that you can afford, then I would definitely say tap into that. But if it's not something you can afford, then that's when you, I don't know if you guys are in church or anything like that, but that's when you seek out the people who you kind of have an idea of, like, huh, they seem like they could offer us some wisdom here. And just pray that the Lord would kind of give you clarity on who that is. But I definitely think it's time for y'all to start reaching out to your village for sure, to try to work through this in the most genuine way possible and to answer those questions.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say this, like, if it's unforgiveness, just say that.
Yeah.
Like, that Tico post the other day where she was talking about, like, you have to name what's in the jar.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, let's not avoid it and say, mm-hmm. hey, I've forgiven them. Like, if you haven't forgiven them, that's okay. Just say that so you know what you got to work through, right? There's stuff that Yvette has done in the past. I'm like, hey, I'm still bitter over that. I am not over that. And I don't know when I'm going to get over that.
What should you do with that?
We're almost done, so I'll feed her in a second.
Thank you, Jordan.
Is it hot? Oh, it's cold.
It's still cold? Nice.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Just leave right there. Thank you. But yeah, like, make sure you name what it is. Like, hey, I have unforgiveness, or mm-hmm. I'm bitter about this, or I don't know if I'll ever truly trust you. Mm-hmm. Like, trust is going to be an issue for me. Whenever you're away from me, I'm going to be thinking about, is he with another woman?
Mm.
Like, just say it. Because if you can say it, then he's realistically thinking, like, oh, am I sure that I can have enough, I'm sorry, am I sure I have enough work ethic to help this woman believe in me again?
Mm.
You know? Because I would hate to be in a situation where I think we're good, we're not good, and I still have a bunch of work to do in our relationship, and I think we've already gotten past it. And then when you already got your nursing degree and everything's cool, you working, and then you come home like, oh, so, you know, you bringing up stuff, but it's all coming from this one incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Yeah, name it.
That's true. Actually, I just had a conversation with Tico where I was talking through something with her, and she's like, that's the icing. But the layer of the cake is this. This is another layer of the cake. This is another layer of cake. Sometimes we choose to deal with what we can see or the icing or whatever.
Was it about me?
Yeah, of course.
But y'all better keep my name out your mouth, man. Y'all.
It's the layer.
The angels probably like, man, Glenn, they talking about you, man.
That's why I can't sleep. How married are you, babe?
That's why I can't sleep.
Yep. Yeah.
What did I do? Oh, man. Let me tell you something about me. Let me tell you something about me.
What?
I've lost 12 pounds.
Hey.
Since
the new year.
Since collapsing.
Oh.
Butt naked in the bathroom. And fainting and having to go to the doctor. So I've been doing intermittent fasting from 12. I eat from 12 to 8. And I fast all the rest of the time. And then I can only eat certain things. So I'm kind of cutting a lot of stuff out of my diet so I can get my blood pressure back and cholesterol down and all that stuff. And yesterday, I made some salmon. Ooh, and it was so good. And I had two pieces of salmon, but I realized Yvette didn't eat, so I saved one piece of salmon for Yvette. And that was very generous.
That was very generous.
Yeah, so I did that
last night. I appreciate that love.
Okay. How married are you?
Mm-hmm. I had one. Did I write it down?
No, you put all my clothes away for the cleaners this morning. I noticed that. That's good.
I will say I have been staying on top of the laundry as much as I can.
No, it's great. I haven't had to wear dirty drawers.
You be wearing dirty drawers?
I mean, what you gonna do? I'm not going commando. I'll run a pair back, man. Flip them inside out. Like I'm 12.
I can't 14. Do that.
It doesn't happen often, guys. So gosh. Don't be out there judging me. But you can ask if you see me in public. Hey, man, yeah, I got a fresh pair on. My wife did the laundry. Nah, I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm so married that this weekend we went away, like, just for an overnight stay, and I packed your clothes.
Oh, yeah, that was dope.
I mean, I didn't pack them, but I pulled them out because I was like, I think this would work.
And you pulled them out because what? I was speaking.
Because you were busy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was speaking. So she literally did that for me. That was so awesome. So, yeah.
And that's just how married we are.
I don't know if I want that business out there.
What business?
That I wear drawers. That's kind of wild.
Well, they told Brendan to cut it out.
I don't know, man. That joint might go viral. That's going to go viral.